There has to be a vision. If God's people don't have a vision, people are going to perish. That can be us. That could be things in our life. That could be our marriages, our families, our church. But that can also be souls, the souls around us. If we have no vision to reach souls, then they will perish. I mean, that just is what it is. God commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we have to have vision. If there is no vision, people are going to perish. And that verse goes on to say, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I believe we get our vision from the Word of God. Really any big decision in our life, I think we should turn to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to guide us, to direct us before we make any big decisions. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Our vision should come from the Word of God. And that will bring the happiness or joy that the Bible speaks of when we're following what the Word of God says. Because we can have peace in our heart knowing we're doing the right thing. Have you ever done something that you wanted to do, but you didn't feel right about it, and you did it, and you were kind of miserable going through it, even though you wanted to do it, but you just knew you shouldn't have? Maybe your parents told you not to go somewhere, and you wanted to go anyway, and that's what you wanted, but while you were there doing whatever that thing was that you weren't supposed to be doing, you felt miserable. Well, that's how it is for us. If God's directed us to do something and we're not doing it, we can have no peace in it. No peace in that decision. And when we do what God wants, even if it may be hard, we can have peace in our lives over knowing we're doing the right thing and knowing that God's hand is in it and God's protection is over us. How many of you have ever heard of Stonewall Jackson? Anybody ever heard of Stonewall Jackson? A couple people. Stonewall Jackson was a leader of the Confederate Army there during the Civil War, and he got his name Stonewall Jackson because he'd be there on a horse. And, I mean, the cannons would be going off, things would be flying past him, and he would just stand there solid as a stone. I mean, he just wouldn't move. And he was a man of faith, a man that loved God, and it was said that he was able to do those things because he says, well, if God is protecting me, then what do I have to worry about? And when God's ready to take me home, he'll take me home. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But that was pretty much his attitude was, hey, nothing can touch me till God says so. So he was able to go out into battle and just stand there like a stone. That's why he got the name Stonewall Jackson. He did end up dying, actually, in the Civil War. But look, if we're doing what God wants us to do, then we can stand there in perfect peace. So what we need vision, and we need that vision to come from the Word of God and know that as we follow the Lord, as we take those steps, that we can be in perfect peace because this is what God wants. But we absolutely must have biblical vision or the people will perish. Dead church. I don't want to be part of a dead church. I don't want to be part of a dying church. I don't. And look, it's easy not to be in a young church, but just wait a little bit till a church gets older and that thing is easy to just creep in and just kill a church because there's no vision and things are you know, taken care of. We're all kind of comfortable where we're at and we just kind of are going through the motions and it's easy to let the vision die. So each of us has to renew the vision in our lives. We need that. We need a fountain gate that we go through to renew the vision and give us a biblical vision. Our vision, as we saw last time, needs to start with our greatest need, which is salvation. As we, you know, the songwriter said, I forget the man's name, Newton, writing Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. Vision. Why? Because he had found salvation. He trusted Christ as his Savior. That's where our vision starts, but it should never stop there. That's just the beginning. You know, the new birth is just the beginning. You get saved, that's the start of it all. That's the start of a new life. You're a new creature. So we don't want to stop there. We want to take it beyond that. So we're here in John chapter 9. We'll pick up in verse 1. And it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He had vision. Now likely where this is taking place, Jesus came out of the fountain gate and went to that pool of Siloam. I'm going to jump back to Nehemiah real quick. Verse 15 says, But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalom, the son of Kolhozi, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. That pool of Siloah, it's the same pool right here that Jesus is speaking. I've told this man to go wash himself in there in John chapter 9. And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam. It's the same place. And Jesus, as he came out of the temple, he likely left the fountain gate and came down, saw this man as he's walking on his way. By the way, they were just, I mean, think about, this is crazy. We don't catch all this when we read this, but they were about to kill him right before this happened. I mean, he's like on his escape and he sees this blind man because he claimed to be God. He's having this interaction between this. It starts with the woman taken in adultery. What a bunch of wicked devils there were that thought that thing up. I'm not saying the woman was innocent in it, but just the wicked devils didn't even follow the law. They just brought the woman, didn't get the man or anything like that. Jesus pardons, you know, their conscience convicts them. He says, hey, he's without sin, cast the first stone at her, and all of them left. And then there was no more accusers. There was no more witnesses of what she had done. So the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And she went on her way. And then he begins to have this conversation back and forth with some of the Pharisees, some of the people that are there. And they start talking about, you know, who's your father? And that's where Jesus says, John 8:44, year of your father, the devil, and the works of your father ye will do. And then they, you know, go through this exchange. And in verse 56, he says there, John 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He's saying right there, I am Jehovah. I'm God. He made that statement, and then you get to verse 59, and what do these people do? Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So he leaves the temple, but they wanted to kill him, and he's like just escaped from an attack on his life, and as Jesus passed by, chapter 9, verse 1, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. I mean, he's on the run for his life from these men. He got through them, he went through the midst of them, and so passed by, and then he sees this man which was blind from his birth. Look, that should just tell us no matter where we're at, no matter how busy we are, we should always be looking for souls. We should always be willing to stop and talk to that person. Stop and help them. Give them the gospel. That fits with this morning, talking about temperance and what's the purpose of that. Why should we do that? Why? That I might reach some. I can't get them all, but that I could reach some. And he was looking for that some. He was looking for that one man. And we need to be willing to do the same thing. But as he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? When we have biblical vision, God will be glorified. If we have biblical vision, God will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here, Lord. I ask your help. God, please guide us. Give us vision, Lord. Help us to be people of vision, Lord, for our families, for our homes, for our church. God, for our individual lives, exactly what you would have us to do. Help us not to neglect you and your leading in our life, Lord, but help each of us to have vision in our life. God, as parents, that we would guide our homes, our families, our children to follow you, Lord. And as children, that we would seek you and want to know your plan for our life, what you would have us to do. God, please help us to seek vision. And God, to go through that fountain gate, desiring for you to teach us and guide us, that you would be glorified through our lives, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look here in the first three verses of John chapter 9, we can see just the general effect of sin or the curse is that it'll stop vision. So why was this man born blind, his disciples asked. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. It's just the general effect of sin overall is going to stifle vision. It's going to cause blindness. Just sin in general is going to blind us, and we have to understand that we are going to have to work towards having a vision, because the devil and the world and our flesh is going to try and stop any vision from being present in our lives, from us being able to see things the way God wants us to see them, just because we're in a sin-cursed world. It's already opposing us. So just understand that. The curse is going to stop vision, the general effect of sin. When we don't see things like God does, as the apostles who were asking him this question saw things, they didn't see it how God did. I mean, they're like, look, Lord, it was either this man or his parents. Which one was it that he was born blind? Who sinned? Which one? So when we don't see things how God does, we're going to have some misconceptions about what we do see. That's why it's so important that I said, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that turns to the Lord's law. I forget the verse. I'm not quoting it right. But look, that's why we need to get our vision from the Word of God. Because we're going to have misconceptions if we don't. And I mean, just talk to someone who wants to philosophize about the world and things like that, and you get their ideas, and some of them may be good and some of them won't be, and they'll be corrupt. And, you know, I mean, we have to bring it back to the Word of God. You're going to hear them say, I believe this and I think this and all these different things, but none of it matches up with the Word of God. I mean, how many people are going to say things like that? Well, you know, I think just, you know, all religions are okay. Well, that sounds good. Okay, you can believe that if you want. Doesn't make it truth. Okay, we need vision from the Word of God. You know, I think if you're just a good person, you'll be saved. That sounds good, but it's not true. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's got to be on His terms, His way. That's how salvation is made possible. So we can think what we want, but if we don't bring it to the Word of God and bow ourselves to the Word of God, it means nothing. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I think we can remove ourselves sometimes from what God has for us, what God wants for us, because we think that was another time, another place. And, you know, we don't, I mean, do we think Jesus was real? I mean, how would we respond if Jesus was here today? Would we respond to Him? Would we listen to Him? I mean, if Jesus came here and He told you, He gave you some command, would you obey Him? I mean, look, just when they went to have the Lord's Supper the first night, and forget even that. We don't even have to think of that. That was pretty crazy too. But let's talk about the triumphal entry. All right, when He's going into Jerusalem for the last time, and He tells His disciples, He says, hey, you know, I want you to go over to here so-and-so and unloose this, you know, this foal of an ass. I mean, I want you to go get that thing for me, and I'm going to ride into town on that. I mean, think about that. That's like, you know, just saying, hey, I want you to just go over to this house and it's gonna, you go down the block here, you turn left here, right here, and then the house is gonna be third house on the right. I want you to go take the car out of the driveway and come see me and pick me up in that. That's what He was saying. You're like, what? Okay, so are you gonna listen to Him? I mean, He was telling him, go take this person's donkey. Go get it. Who is it, Lord? Whose is it? I mean, do we have permission? I mean, wouldn't you be thinking something like that? I mean, I would be like, are you sure? I mean, it's not ours. I haven't seen you with it for the last 3 years. It's definitely not mine. You want me to go over there and just take this? I mean, come on, let's put ourselves where He was at. Would we listen to Him? If God told you, if Jesus was here today and He told you, that's what I want you to go do, go to this house down across the block over there and just take the car, would you do it? See, now it's like, well, I mean, seriously, what would you do if God wanted you to do that? You'd be like, man, I mean, you'd be like, start on your walk and you'd be like, should I do this? As you're walking to the house and you're like, well, maybe if no one's there, if I don't see anyone. I mean, I wonder, I don't know, these are things that I think. If I was asked to do something like this, I mean, I'd be like walking like, man, is there anyone there? Is that, that's a house right there. I don't see anybody. I'm like, I mean, and then I'd be like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's get this thing. I mean, isn't that, how would you guys do it? I mean, I don't think I'd just be like, oh yeah, the Lord told me I'm going. I don't know. Maybe someone would be like that. I don't think I would. I think I'd be like, you ready? You see anybody? No? I mean, that's probably how I would be. That's how I would respond to that thing. Would we do it? So when God leads you to do something through His Word right here, will you do it? It's not easy. It's not easy, but if we, I mean, if we're asking God, God, give me vision, then we got to be willing to obey what God's going to show us. That's when that it comes down to our heart attitude and what's in here. Lord, help me. God, I want to obey you. Help me. Teach me how to do it. Show me how I can do it, Lord, because I want to. And we're going to have to be willing to deal with our misconceptions when God shows us some things, when God teaches us. You know, we can think we're doing fine until God steps in. I mean, we can. I mean, his disciples asked him, Master, I mean, they're just boldly proclaiming, who did sin? So what is it? It's this one or this one? This man or his parents that he was born blind? I mean, they had it figured out. It's either this or it's this. Which one, Lord? And God says, neither one, you're wrong. Oh, man. You know, so they had to recognize that, hey, we're not always right. We have to recognize the same thing. Maybe something we've said, we're going to have to back up on that and say, hey, I know I said this, but I'm sorry. The Lord, you know, the Lord's leading me. That was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. And we may have to go about it this way. We have to be willing to do that. When he speaks, he's going to rectify a lot of misconceptions. I can't wait to get to heaven and have him teach us. I mean, just open that book up and just show us some things. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He says, it wasn't either one of them. It's so God could be glorified. That's why this man was born blind. You say, how unfair! Well, you take it up with God. I don't know why he did that. But he said that man was born blind, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We want to judge God's character and say he's unrighteous and he's unfair because he doesn't do things the way we would do them. Right? And he hasn't killed a lot of us like some of us would if we were God. I mean, how many people have we gotten mad with and we'd be like, lightning bolt for that guy. Right? I mean, bam, you're done. I mean, wouldn't we do that? I mean, but God's no, he's merciful. We want to attack his character and say he's not righteous for some of the things he does. Maybe God wants to get glory out of it. Maybe some of the things you're suffering in your life is because God wants to get the glory out of it. Did you ever think of that? That man was born blind. The Bible says that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Notice he was a man. He wasn't just a child. He'd grown up, I don't know how old he was, but he was old enough to be a man. And he'd grown up to the point of manhood, at least 20 years old, blind. He was born that way. Why? So God could be glorified through his life. So the things you faced in this life, as horrible as they may be, as bad as they may be, it may all be so that God can be glorified through you. As God corrects our misconceptions, we have to be willing to listen, to humble ourselves, and to change. Listen first. Are we really listening? You know, when we go to God and say, God, would you show me what to do? Then do we do this? You know, I mean, there's a lot of that going on, I think. But we need to be willing to listen to him, humble ourselves, admit that we're wrong, and then change. Look with me, if you would, Psalm 119, 128, please. This is the attitude we need right here. Psalm 119, 128. He says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Not most false ways, not some false ways. I hate every false way. But what does he do first to get to have that attitude? He says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I'm going to lift up and magnify your word, God. I'm esteeming it above everything else. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That's what we need. We need to hate every false way. Not be okay with every false way. I mean, most of us don't go around playing with poisonous snakes. I mean, anybody like black widows? Any of you ladies in here like black widows? No? Is there any lady in here that likes black widows? You like them dead? Is that how you like them? Yeah, you like them dead, right? I mean, it doesn't even matter what spider it is in my house. It could be, you know, there's some good ones, those the ones that eat other bugs and stuff. There's like good spiders that you want around. It doesn't matter what it is. If that thing has 8 legs in my house, you know, you guys, my family wants it dead. I like that little meme of that little baby and they put it in, it's a spider in my house. I want that thing dead now. You kill that thing, take care of it, I want him dead now. And he looks like he's like an old mobster or something. He's in a little suit and something. He's like a little 2-year-old blonde-headed kid. It's just funny because that's how it is in our house. If a spider shows up, I want that thing dead now. And his mom and his sister and his brother, I want them all dead. Just kill them all. I mean, take them out. There's no spiders going to stay alive in our house if we spot it. And I mean, me and Isaiah are the spider killers. And it's just like, we hear screaming and we're like, oh man, there's a bug. We got to get up now. And we got to go kill a bug. Go get it. And then we get yelled at if we miss the bug. And it's like, you better get that thing. Don't let it run off. And it's like, it went under the blankets. And we're kind of like, I got it. It was there. I smashed it. And they're like, no, you didn't. I'm like, well, hopefully we did. But anyway, look, none of us like that. We don't want to play with a poisonous spider. We don't want to play with a poisonous snake. But that's why the psalmist said, hey, I hate every false way. Why do we want to play with some false ways? Things that are dangerous for us. Things that are going to hurt us. We don't play with poisonous spiders. We don't play with poisonous snakes because they can harm us. Well, that's why every false way can hurt us. We need to stay away from that. Esteem God's precepts. When we see how God wants us to see things, He will be glorified. Again, verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, that God would be glorified. That's why he's going through this. And when we get the vision that God wants us to have and we see things how he wants us to see them, then God will get glorified. God will get the glory. Our attitude needs to be one of waiting and listening for the Lord's answer. Jesus answered, it says right there. That's what we need to do. Just wait for his answer. Ask and wait for the answer. Young Samuel, when he was just a boy, God was speaking to him, and he wasn't sure. He thought it was Eli calling him, and Eli recognized what was happening in his life, and Eli told him, hey, Samuel, here's what you need to answer when you hear that voice again, because that voice would call out, Samuel, Samuel, and he'd go running into Eli. He was just a boy. I think he was about 8 years old, and he'd go running into the priest Eli, and he'd say, what do you need? I'm here. And after the third time, I think that happened, he said, here's what you need to do. And 1 Samuel 3:10, the Bible says, and the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Oh man, if we'd have that attitude. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Hey, when you sit down to read your Bible tomorrow morning, tomorrow when you read it, if we could have the attitude that just says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what Samuel said. He was willing to listen. Thy servant heareth. You know, God wants to work in each of our lives. He worked mightily in this man's life so he would get the glory. This man receiving his sight may not really affect us personally, but I guarantee it was definitely important to that man. Think about it. If you were born blind, I mean, and God allowed you to see, wouldn't you be running around rejoicing? I mean, I sure would. I mean, just wow, you know, everything that you'd see would be just amazing. I mean, you'd look to the mountains and you'd be like, wow, I mean, look at those. And you'd look at the clouds and think, that's incredible. Just everything you saw would be absolutely amazing. I mean, you'd come running, what color is this? What about this right here? I mean, everything would be new to you and fresh. It'd be amazing. And God can do that in your life. If you've gotten just dry in your walk with the Lord and things, you're like, man, it's just not clicking. It's not going. That's why we sing the song, Revive Us Again. Amen. Because we need God to revive us again. Sometimes to wake us up, we need a fresh vision. And when God gives it to us, it's going to be like, wow, everything's new. I get my Bible. And it's like, man, God's just showing me some things. It's amazing how the Lord's teaching me and showing me when we have vision. When God's given us a vision. God wants to work in each of our lives. Don't downplay what God is doing in your life. Rejoice in it and praise Him. Praise God for what He's doing in your life. You know, I get so frustrated by people trying to just So many, like some celebrity will get saved, so-called, and then they want to just like push them up like there's something great immediately. And I'm like, they're a baby Christian that knows nothing, and most of them are worldly anyway, and they're just led to stay in that, and there's nothing wrong with it. Just stay worldly, stay fleshly. And that they push them in that, but they want to glorify and magnify their testimony of living for the devil for so many years, and look at this great trophy of God's grace. And I say, hey, praise God for everybody that He saves, but better than that, you know, some of us think if we don't have a testimony like that, our testimony doesn't really count. I'm telling you 100 times, 1,000 times, I'd rather have a testimony that I didn't do all that garbage and God kept me from all of that nonsense. And I just grew up and I loved the Lord from the youngest age I can remember, and I got saved and I served Him all my life. That's what I'd rather have. That's a better testimony to me than somebody that lived with the filth of the world and came out of that. So you think, well, you know, God hasn't done much in my life. I've never been a bad sinner. Okay, we're all bad sinners, but, you know, I've never been that bad, you know, drunkard or drug addict or anything like that. I was never any of those things. Then praise God. Rejoice in that. Amen. God kept you from all of that. He kept you from those things. Rejoice in what God's doing in your life. Don't downplay it. Don't put it down, but let God work in your life. Let God use you. Listen to God as He guides you and leads you. Be willing to follow Him. When you're tempted to think that something God may want you to do is impossible, remember that there's no way this man could have made himself to see. If God's asking you to do something, you think, I could never do that. Good. You probably can't, but God can do it through you. Because this man couldn't have given himself sight, but God absolutely can, and God did. And we just have to, just by faith, just trust God. Okay, God, I've been asking You to give me vision, to show me, and now, Lord, here's what You're leading me to do. I'm afraid to do it. I don't think I can do it. Lord, I need Your help. Help me to do this. And just trust Him. And just go forward and do what God's asking you to do. Don't limit yourself by your human frailties, by your human limitations. Don't limit yourself by that. Allow God to work through you. Just be that vessel that God can use. Because it is possible for us to limit the Lord. It's absolutely possible that you can limit God. The Almighty, the one that can do anything. The Creator of heaven and earth. Have you ever looked into space? You ever been out in the mountains and looked into space and thought how huge it is, how amazing it is? Just on a clear day, even not at night, you look out and you see there's no clouds or anything, and you just see blue skies. Have you ever looked out there and thought, I wonder how big this is? I mean, because it just goes on and on. Where does it end? Where does it end? But the Bible tells us that God can measure the heavens with the span. That's from the thumb to your pinky. God can measure the heavens like that. So God just, I don't know, standing, He's just there. And He looks at the heavens and He goes, yeah, it's that big. That's how big our God is. He's that big. That's amazing. And we can limit Him. You can limit God. Psalm 78:41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I don't know why these verses keep popping up to me that deal with this false doctrine of Calvinism, but they do. It's possible that in our own stubborn will, we can limit God. We can stop God. The children of Israel did. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I hope that I've never done that in my life, but I probably have. I've probably not let God work like I should because I didn't trust Him. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back to earth, shall I find faith on the earth? Are there going to be people that trust Me? Are there? What if He comes back today? Do we trust Him? Are we willing to follow Him? If He leads us to do something out of the ordinary, would we do it? If Jesus showed up and said, hey, go down the street, go get that car, would we do it? I'm not condoning anyone stealing a car, okay? Don't be like, you know, well, He told me to take that Corvette, Pastor. No, I doubt He's going to do that. So I'm not condoning anyone stealing a car. But I'm just saying, would we obey God if He came back, okay? Biblical vision includes us having the faith to let God work in our lives. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we want God to be glorified by our lives. Well, it's going to happen through our good works, the things we do for Him, as we follow Him in obedience, as we trust Him and listen to Him and what He's asking us to do. Obedience to God's Word will then bring vision. Verse 4 says, go ahead and turn to John chapter 9, verse 4. If you look at that with me, if you would. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Look, there's coming a time, God says, nobody's going to be able to work for me. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and He said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went His way therefore and washed and came seeing. See, obedience to God's Word brings vision. Look, the Lord washed His eyes. He spits in the dirt. He makes some paste. He anoints this guy's eyes. He covers this guy's eyes with this paste that He makes. I mean, think about that. I mean, you're like, you hear this guy, he's like, hey, maybe you hear the shuffling because you're not seeing obviously what's going on, but he's trying to get away. These people are chasing him and you hear the shuffling and you're, get that man. Maybe you hear them saying or whatever. And he comes by and you just hear him just starts talking to this guy, this blind man right here. And then the disciples are asking, well, who sinned that this man was born blind? And you're just sitting there just listening. You can't see. You're just there like, I mean, think about that, how hard that would be to be blind. And you're just sitting there, and then all of a sudden you hear this guy just, you're like, what's he doing? I mean, isn't that what he did? I mean, I don't know how to spit properly. If there's a proper way to spit, I guess God did it, but I don't know how, I don't know what that is. So you hear him spit, and then you hear the ground just kind of rubbing together, and it's starting to get mixed up and stuff. And then he just, next thing you know, this man's coming up to you, maybe he touches your shoulder or grabs your forehead or something, and he starts rubbing this paste in your eyes, and you're thinking like, you don't know who this guy is. I mean, you're like, did he just do this? I mean, I don't know, what are you thinking if someone does that to you? I mean, really, what would you be thinking? I don't know what I'd think, but this guy just says, hey, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go ahead, go there now and wash. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, my first response would be like, ah. Wouldn't you? Isn't that what you would want to do? Is it just like, ugh, this guy just like spit on me. That's what happened. He tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Obedience to God's word brings vision. The fountain gate represents submission to the Holy Spirit and God-given vision. Our obedience should be a natural outflow of our love for God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look, that right there, that's an evidence of salvation. Okay, that's proof that you have been saved, that you've been born again, is that you're going to strive to keep God's commandments. If your whole attitude is in rebellion to that, then you better look at your salvation. I'm just telling you. Because that's an absolute evidence of salvation, is that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We need to pray and ask God to help us love Him better. Because we could all grow in that, I'm sure. We should serve God while we have the opportunity. Because that opportunity may not always be there. He said in verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Look, that night might be different for all of us. Who knows when we're going to step into eternity? Look, you got to serve God now. Serve God now. I remember thinking back, you know, when I was this age, I didn't necessarily say this or think this. But now having grown up through it, I look back and I think that was my attitude, was that at 20 years old, 24, 25, whatever, I was invincible. I mean, that's just what I thought, and that's most men that I know that I've talked to, they're like, oh yeah, that's what I thought when I was that age too. We think we're invincible, we're never going to die, nothing's ever going to hurt us. And that's just how we think. But we're not promised tomorrow, not one of us. Brother Murdoch was here just last week, and the day before, Saturday, he was at a funeral for a 23-year-old young lady. 23. Life just started at 23. You haven't done anything at age 23. None of us know. See, Jesus said, work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Our opportunity will be gone one day to serve God. It'll be gone. So take the opportunities now. Serve God while you can. His word lightens our path so we know the way to go. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 1. If we would go ahead and turn there, John 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, that life He gives us was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness didn't understand it. The darkness didn't get it. See, it said, I am the light of the world. And you see, the Word. His Word is what lightens our path. His Word is what guides us. His Word is what shows us what to do. His Word is where we get our vision. We have to continually go back to the Bible. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. The Word of God, we need it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. We need it. You have to have it. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Not some things, but nothing. I mean, think about that. That's for every person alive on this earth. Without Him, you can do nothing. Those that reject Him and say they don't believe in God, without Him, they could do nothing. Because without Him, there would be no air to breathe. There would be no gravity. Nothing. None of that stuff. None of the molecules and things would be kept together. Everything would just... Without God, we could do nothing. As long as we follow God, we'll have vision. He said, I'm the light of the world. If we look at chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are we following Christ? If we follow Him, we'll have vision. I believe God desires for us to have a global vision beyond just right here. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. A global vision that we would take the gospel into the whole world. That's why we are having a missions conference, so we can help fulfill that global vision, so we can ask God, hey God, show me what you want me to do. Lord, show me from your word how I can take part in this global vision to reach others more than just those right here. I want to do my part here, Lord, but extend my vision. Give me the faith to follow you. The faith to do what you're leading me to do. Christianity is about looking beyond yourself to those in need of the gospel. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we're His ambassadors. He's given us that role, that duty to be an ambassador for Him, a representative of Him. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about us being standing there in Christ's stead. I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to the Lord. In place of Christ, we're to go for Him. Well, that's what Christian means. We're little Christs. Everywhere we go, we want to represent Him. We want to be Him to other people. That's why our testimony is so important. Biblical vision won't be me focused, but rather others focused. See, this man received his vision when he obeyed Christ. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. When he obeyed, God gave him the vision. Obedience will bring vision. If we obey what God is showing us in His Word, then we're going to walk in the light, and God will say, that's right, that's where I want you to go. Right there, follow that path, son, because you can see the light that I'm giving you. Just keep going down that. Sometimes we get there and we say, well, where do we go? I don't know where to go. Maybe it's because we've stopped following His Word, and the light went out. He's saying, you better get back to my word. You better turn back to the Bible so that you know which way I want you to go. And we get back in that book, and you know, sometimes it can be slow start, and we're like, I don't even want to. And it's just, I've had that struggle before in my life. I mean, where I'm just like, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't feel like reading the Bible, but we got to get in there. We got to ask God, God, give me a heart for it. I'm not feeling this. I feel like I'm away from you. Lord, help me. Help me get back where I need to be and just seek Him and just pray and ask Him and get back in there. And they're like, oh, bam, the light's on. I can't go there. I got to turn this way. There we go. That's the way I need to go. And the Lord's leading us because we're following His Word. We've got to be in His Word. We've got to be people of the book. And if everything that you think that God's leading you to do in your life is you focused, it's not biblical vision. It's because biblical vision is going to be others focused. Jesus went to help this man. Jesus was teaching His disciples that. It's not about you. You're to be a servant. We're to be servants. A servant does not consider themselves first. A servant considers themselves last. You're last on the list, not first. 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul said this, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." See, he wasn't waiting for their response. If you love me, I'm going to love you. He said, nope, I determined long ago that I'm going to spend and be spent for you. And I'll love you even if you don't love me, even if you don't return it. Isn't that how a parent's love works? Whether your kids love you or not, you're going to love them. No matter what they do to you, you're going to love them. That's what Paul said right there. But we don't want to see even the people here so much as family. You say, no, they're kind of. I mean, I know the Bible says they're my brother in Christ, but what does that really mean? Well, we're so close, we're one body. That's pretty close. If I stub my toe, my whole body is going to be affected by that. I mean, if I get a splinter, it's like affects my whole body. You know, anything like that, your whole body feels it, it affects you. If you have a headache, man, that'll put your whole body down. You ever gotten a migraine where you just, I can't do anything, I can't think, I don't want lights on, I don't even want my eyes open, I want no noise, I'm just going to just lay here and I want to go to sleep so I can wake up and this thing's gone, I hope. You're done. And that's just that one part of your body that's hurting, that's aching. We need to really be willing to grow close to each other, to care about each other, for each other's needs. Pray for one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. So you have love one to another. Not how much Bible you know, but you have love one to another. Look, you might say, I don't know a lot of Bible. I'm not good at that. God hasn't given me the ability to maybe get up in front of people and speak. I don't know how to do that, but you can love. Anybody can love. You can love somebody. You can love somebody. All of us can. All of us can love better. Love the people that are here and be close to the people that are here. And you know, if you offend someone here, be willing to reconcile with them. Be willing to admit that you're wrong, that you messed up. And be willing to seek forgiveness. Paul's attitude was that he was willing to spend and be spent for others. See, biblical vision isn't going to be me focused. It'll be others focused. Maybe your walk has been bone dry, then you need to try the fountain gate and seek that life-giving and renewing water of the Holy Spirit, because He'll renew it. He'll give you that biblical vision, and you'll be running around seeing things like you've never seen them before. Like, it's been so dry! But now you've got refreshed. Refreshed, just... that's what I needed. And you're refreshed now. God doesn't desire for you to languish, but to be filled with vision and obedience for Him. Ephesians 3:19 says, "To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." All the fullness of God. God wants us filled with His fullness. What does that mean? It means we have vision. It means we're being led by God. that God's showing us what direction to go. So we need to ask for, God, give me vision, but be willing to obey His word.